Morning, everyone. So over the course of the last 4 weeks, and in fact, for the next two Sundays leading up to Christ the King, leading up to the end of this liturgical year, our second reading has come from the rather cryptic letter to the Hebrews. And in fact, I would argue that the letter to the Hebrews is one of the most foundational texts in the entirety of the New Testament. Right, it's foundational in the sense, it's especially foundational for us as Catholics, because hidden within that book explains the reason why all of us are here this morning. In fact, it explains to us why we're here this morning as opposed to, say, a Protestant church. Because within that text, within this letter to the Hebrews, we come to the understanding what we as Catholics profess every single Sunday when we come here to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because anyone who's been to a Protestant service before, I mean, typically, the vast majority of what you will see is the pastor speaking from the pulpit, the pastor preaching, right? Sometimes for hours. Whereas for us, the center of the Mass, as we can see right here, the center of our sanctuary is the altar where the sacrifice takes place, right? That is the centerpiece of our church. So how does this letter to the Hebrews help us to understand what we profess as the sacrifice of the Mass, right? What we profess as Catholics? Well, first, I mean, so just what is this letter to the Hebrews? Well, I mean, first you'll hear that we don't know who wrote the letter, right? You know, if you read through commentaries, they say that only God knows. I mean, for years, scripture scholars have been trying to figure out, they've been trying to piece together, you know, this mosaic, trying to understand who it is that wrote this. But to be honest with you, we don't know. But we do know who the audience is, right? We know it's the Hebrew people, the Jewish people who, after seeing Jesus Christ, converted to Christianity. And if we read through this letter, we see that this is a people that are struggling, right? This is a people who maybe are questioning whether they made the right decision to leave behind the Jewish traditions and now become this disciple of Jesus Christ, now to become this Christian. And so really, in a certain sense, this letter is the first apologetic work, right? Apologetic meaning, right, a defense of the faith, right? This author is trying to tell them that you made the right decision. This Jesus Christ, he is who he professed himself to be, right? He is the risen Son of God. He is the Messiah. Because one of the things, and I've said this before in the past, I mean, at least for me, and I think for with a number of people that I've talked to, as Christians, we have this great temptation to maybe see there being a distinct split between the Old Testament and the New. When in reality, what we see, right, when we read the entirety of Scripture, what we see is one linear story, one giant progression that ultimately comes to its climax, to its culmination, when Jesus Christ offers himself as the one true sacrifice on Calvary. In fact, when we see everything through the light of what happened on Good Friday night, when Jesus offered himself, it is then that we can understand what happened in the entirety of the Old Testament. Everything was leading up to that moment. And see, that is the argument that this author in the letter to the Hebrews is making. Right? He's not saying that the Jewish people, he's not saying that they were wrong. He's not saying that the Old Covenant was wrong, the Old Testament was wrong. But rather, what he's saying is that it's incomplete. What he's saying is it's not fulfilled. But what he's telling them, he says, yes, you're right, because it was fulfilled when Jesus offered himself as that one true sacrifice, where Jesus offered himself as the unblemished lamb for our sins so as to reconcile us to God. So really what this author is getting at is one of the major themes, and we've seen it last week, this week, and next week. One of the major themes of the letter to the Hebrews is the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, right? How Jesus is the eternal high priest who continues to reign down from heaven. Because what's interesting is if we look at just the history of faith throughout the ages, we've always seen Very often we've seen this idea of a priest. Right? And what is a priest? What is, you know, the priest in all these faiths, they have one thing in common, right? And the priest is called to be the mediator between heaven and earth, right? The bridge that reconciles God to man and vice versa. And so what we've seen throughout history, I mean, because if there's one thing we know, as St. Augustine tells us, right? I mean, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. This idea that no matter how happy, no matter how good things are here, right? We always desire more. We always desire for the eternal goodness that is heaven. And so even from the very beginning, right? I mean, the pagans being no different, they wanted this bridge to heaven. And so we see this in the Old Testament. We see this in the Old Covenant, right? We heard it at the beginning of the reading, this idea of the Levitical priests, right? The priest trying to be those ones who reconcile God and man. And how do they do that? Well, they do that by offering sacrifice. So that's what we see, right? On that first Passover evening, what was the call of the Israelite people as they were in slavery in Exodus, right? They were called to offer up the unblemished lamb, right? To offer that as an offering, as a sacrifice on behalf of their sins, right? In fact, this is where we get this notion of a scapegoat, this idea that we place our sins upon a third party, right? And we offer that up. Right, and it's not that we offer up any animal, but we offer up the unblemished lamb. We offer up the best that we have. And so what this author in the letter to the Hebrews is saying is that Jesus Christ, he is that perfect high priest. He is that bridge. He is that mediator. Right? Because what we profess every single Sunday in the Creed, we believe that Jesus Christ, he's true God and true man. We believe that in him we see humanity and divinity reconciled in one person. Right? This idea that in him, all of a sudden now, we can have a new relationship that those members of the old covenant never could have. Right? In Jesus, we see that perfect priest who reconciles us to God. But even beyond that, right? The priest is the one who offers sacrifice. Right? The priest is the one who offers the sacrifice for the sins of humanity, right? And Jesus, as the eternal high priest, he does exactly that, but in a way that was completely unintended, right? Jesus is both the priest and the victim. Jesus offered himself as that sin offering, right? As that unblemished lamb, right? And all the evangelists, they point that out, this idea that Jesus, right, he is that perfect sacrifice. He is the one who offers himself so as to reconcile us to God. So I go back to that initial point, right? So how now? How does this help us to understand why we're here, right? Why are we here at Christ the King Catholic Church? And why aren't we just at, you know, some other Protestant church? Why is it that we come here? Well, I point back to the centerpiece, right? Because here at this altar, the place where Jesus Christ continues to offer himself as that one true sacrifice. Because every single Sunday, every single day, at every single church throughout the entirety of the world, on every single altar, we see Calvary being represented in the same way that it was 2,000 years ago. Because Jesus, he knew that we still need this bridge. We still need to be, we still desire this relationship with God, right? And Jesus, he is the one who offers that true sacrifice, right? For me as a priest, I do nothing on my own power, right? I participate in the eternal high priest, in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. You know, in fact, the whole reason why we wear all this garb, the reason why, you know, I wear the alb, right? It's not so that way I can sweat like crazy. The whole purpose for us to wear all of this is to blot out as much of Ed Herzog as possible so that way, when I'm standing up at that altar, right, it's not me that you see, but rather it's Jesus Christ working through me, right? That's why at that pivotal moment in the consecration, right, I don't say as I lift up that host and as I lift up that chalice, I don't say that this is Jesus' body, this is Jesus' blood. I don't use the third person, but in fact, I use the first person. Because in that moment, it is Jesus who continues to offer himself, right, as that one true sacrifice. Right? It is Jesus Christ who is working through me. You see, my friends, that is what separates us from all the other faiths. That's why it's so pivotal that we gather here, that we gather around this altar. Because God, right from the very beginning and still to this day and through to the end of eternity, he will always want to reconcile us to him. He always wants to deepen that relationship. That is the fundamental purpose of the incarnation. And that is the fundamental purpose on which Jesus gave his life on Calvary. So my friends, this morning, as we come forward to receive that one true sacrifice, as we come forward to receive the Eucharist as we do, I pray every single Sunday, let us truly understand what is happening at this altar. Let us understand that Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest that we hear in the letter to the Hebrews, that he is coming to us. He's coming to us in a way that is still so beautiful, that is still so fulfilling as he did to his apostles 2,000 years ago. This morning, as we come forward to receive him, may we realize that we are receiving the eternal high priest. Right? That priest, that sacrifice, who is the bridge between heaven and earth, between humanity and divinity.